to Warmaster Podcast Episode 6 with Barry and Paul.
Hello, how are you doing?
So today we'll be talking about the game we play today, as always, and we'll be talking about the High Elves, or the Defenders of Ulthuan.
Ulthuan, is that how you say it?
Ulthuan. I have no idea.
All right, let's go with Ulthuan. Okay, so yes, so it's back to our standard like style of podcast, reviewing an army of a game that we just played.
Mm-hmm. So what was the game today, Paul? What did you use?
I decided last night, as I'd watched Dracula Untold, or whatever that was, film recently, that I was going to do Vampire Counts.
With Bard? That's Bard, isn't it?
Yes, well, he's not called Bard.
Well,
like,
the actor
is not called the character. Bard. Anyway, but yeah, you know what I mean. He's a Welsh actor, isn't he? Anyway, I quite like the movie. And I was like, I'm going to play...
Six out of ten.
Different podcast. Right, so I was like, I'm going to use Vampire Counts. Which are an interesting army. They are a spin on the regular undead, and going off from our newly made legal tournament lists, it's like a little different. The Vampire Counts are a little different from the War Master magazine article there when they originally featured.
So which section are they out of? Which of the four types of lists are they?
They were legal. They were like so in the two books that came, the 2009. And the Compendium and War Master Armies one, they came in the first book and were totally legit.
Okay, so they're one of the 12.
But they had, by that point, they'd changed from the War Master magazine article where they originally done, and they were made, and they were featured early on with alternative models for like homemade versions of the models, using, I don't know, Bretonian like peasants for zombies, that kind of thing. But what it allowed me to do is I put a proper horde army.
It was big. It really was big.
Yeah, I went, my break point was 14, so that's 27 units I had, seven characters, it was big.
And resilient to shooting, because shooting doesn't do dick to most of this stuff. You can't make it drive back.
No. I mean,
being
undead, there's no confusion. So drive backs is kind of negated because you just, like, you'll be killed off if you're driven over the unit's movement. But if it isn't that, it doesn't matter because you just, the front rank doesn't move. The second rank doesn't move. Nothing happens.
And especially with the Ethereal Host, which was one of your star units.
Yeah.
They've got four hits each and they don't get driven back, so...
It was certainly an interesting army, and if I was going to say when we come on to review Vampire Counts, I need a few more games of testing it, but it's like, this is the beauty of what we've got here, is it's literally, idea last night, I'm going to use Vampire Counts, never played them before, printed off the tokens, made them 20 minutes later, army's ready to go for the next day.
Yeah, and I used my tournament high elf list, which the leadership was a little bit stretched today, to say the least. There was a couple of turns where I literally did nothing but just wait for hordes of zombies to approach and try and shoot. I mean, there was like shooting from. I had some guys in.
Well, we'll talk about today's match. We're not doing that, are we? What else have we been doing?
We've got show notes and stuff.
Yeah, we've got show notes. So we've been making terrain. Barry's been making terrain. So he's made very nice card. Wood terrain.
Yeah.
You want to explain?
So basically, it's just 9mm MDF. Obviously, wear a mask when you're working with this dirty, stinky stuff. And then a jigsaw. So everything's kind of hand cut, random. And yeah, so I made like a dozen hills, no, not a dozen, half a dozen hills, half a dozen forests, and gave half to Paul to use on his terrain.
And it's going to, it's hard wearing, it's super practical. I got it for Christmas, this new fat mat from Frontline Gaming, which looks lovely, and I'll paint them to match the mat. And yeah, it's all good, really. We've also been playing, doing some intro games to other people in our club.
Yeah, so last Wednesday I did a game between, I reffed a game and lent an army out between Shape and, he was Ian Sharp, and Rodders, who's Shane...
Davey,
yeah. So Rodders was using Lizardmen and Shape was using High Elves, and it went pretty much as you'd expect. Lizardmen couldn't handle the leadership and got flanked by the Silverhelms, who ate the army, so... Mm-hmm. I think he won 10-1 or something ludicrous.
Yeah, so that was that just a 1,000-point game?
Or no.
Oh, it was a 2,000-point game.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Because with this kind of game, it's best to just play it big.
Yeah, play it at the side.
Because 1,000 eats, with your leadership, it eats up so much. If you hear a little
Sorry,
that's a cat.
Yeah, my cat's on the table at the moment. But like, we'll keep going.
So, 1,000 points, too much of your points gets eaten up by leadership. So it's best to play at 2,000, I think, and just man up.
Yeah.
Play quick.
And also, that's good in our club, is that we seem to be creating a lot of new players, which is fantastic. And that's come off the back of us producing a set rule book for it. So basically, we've taken the... I might have mentioned this before on other podcasts, but we've taken all the erratas that ever were, you know, and created this one rule book. We've finalised all the army lists we're using. So, and that's how we've been giving out that product to new players, is that they then get, here's your army look, here's the army list book, here's the rule book that our scene and the war and Saffron Walden tournament scene are using. And to a lot of players, you know, especially from our club, which is the most popular game is War Machine, is they want to know exactly what they can use and what is potential to face. So once those two have been finalised out, it's attracted new players, definitely.
Yeah, I think, you say there's another couple of players on the wings as well, so we're up to about maybe 8 players now at the club.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to it, but the event that I'm going to run next, I would have hoped for 16 players, but it can go to 32, who knows? I mean, this is good times.
Happy days. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... 100 subscribers. We've actually managed to get 100 subscribers in our first month.
Yes, indeed. And so thank you very much for everybody out there who has subscribed to us. Because we didn't set out with any targets. We didn't set out thinking, oh, we're a failure if we don't make this much or whatever.
I anticipate maybe like 10 or 20 subscribers.
Like, literally. And I've been enjoying listening back to us and been creating the whole thing, but I didn't expect it to get like popular. So we're having a party.
Relatively speaking.
No, but 100 is...
Out of 5 billion or 6 billion.
Whatever. But like, so we're actually having a party to celebrate on Saturday. And I guess now we're going to have to think up what's the next milestone, because it's already...
101?
No, I don't know, but a good excuse for a celebration. You should celebrate things in life, I think.
Okay. All right, but so in celebration of that, we're going to have a competition on our Facebook page. I thought about a way to run a subscriber competition, but you can't do it. So I don't know who the subscribers are. It says there's 117 today, but I don't know who the 117 are.
Yeah.
It's not my wife 117 times, I don't think. So what we'll do is I'll post something on Facebook on the War Master podcast. Mm-hmm. Facebook page, and it'll probably be like this post or something, and then we'll randomly select somebody from the likes and we'll post you something wherever you are in the world. So head to the War Master podcast page and find that post and
and we'll make it a prize definitely worth winning. It won't be like some token, you know, like post-it note with thank you in it. You'll get that too, but it will be something worth winning, definitely. Yeah, we'll guarantee that. We don't want to spoil it by what we'll give away, but like a mystery box prize.
Yeah. So today's match is our next. Point.
Yes.
Tournament High Elf. You played your
an army I created there last night.
And created to neutralise my shooting and hiding in defence. It was good.
I just wanted to play vampire counts because they were a token army we hadn't tried yet.
That's true.
Yeah, it was like
so shooting was pretty ineffective.
Today's chat is about the High Elves more, so we should say your High Elf list likes to fire at troops. It'll fire at opponents. It's got a couple of like the Bolt Throwers clubbed together and the Reavers clubbed together. Make two good like areas of shooting attacks. And undead, you know, like either in their Tomb Kings or Vampire Counts variety, really mitigate that shooting quite a lot.
Because with the no confusion, and then basically if you're in line, you just don't get driven back. It doesn't matter unless you wipe out the unit by the massive drive back. They just stay where they are.
So the story of the game was that my army filled the entire table and Barry set up roughly in two clumps. He put a brigade of infantry in a nice building area, fortified scenery.
Who did nothing. Which, that's their job.
But and I sort of anticipated, I set my best troops for cracking infantry in defended and fortified was going to be my ethereal hosts. because they completely negate the defended and fortified status.
Yeah.
Which is because they're ghosts.
And have
So yeah, I was like, that was my battle plan, was I would set them up to go against the two scenery pieces if Barry occupied them, and the rest of it would just be I would just hopefully overwhelm Barry with numbers. And it looked very good to begin with. I thought I was going to be on for a big win, actually.
Certainly, again, turn two, when I did nothing. I think you put a picture up. There was literally stuff everywhere, and I was just all clumped around a hill with my bolt throwers on the top of the hill and everything surrounding the hill, even my three characters around the hill.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought, well, this is good, because this is an army I've very quickly created, and it looks like it's gonna beat Barry's High Elves, who have got a winning streak on at the moment. So it's like, okay, it's going very well. But then the problem with the army fell apart, basically. All of my attacks just blunted themselves, and the vampire counts are sadly just didn't hit well. Like, even some combats where I really should have won, I lost. Like, example, a unit of Black Knights charged, which are regular knights, a unit of Silver Helms, exactly the same profile.
Except you're charging.
Except I'm charging, so I'm better, and I lost.
Not only did you lose, I then pursued.
I lost bad. and that allowed another unit to get killed. My infantry brigades.
I flanked an infantry brigade off the reform. So.
It's the kind of move in a war game where if I was given that option again, I'd have done it. Yeah, I'd have definitely chosen it because, on average, I really should win this.
Yeah.
And or at least did mutual destruction, mutual combat effectiveness gone, and it didn't happen. I failed everything, and
but in the end, the game was 14-1.
14, which it looks
and the
awful.
Was
on, looks awful on paper, but it's not that. As in, it's there was a lot of beaten up elf units, like stands lost here and there. So, but that like in a football result, the score doesn't quite reflect the match. In that, it looked that would be a whitewash, but it wasn't quite the whitewash that it was the result showed.
And funnily, I think the true quality of the vampire count is actually better than the Tomb Kings. Apart from maybe the chariots, they're very good, but. For the Tomb Kings.
When we do a podcast about undead, we'll do one about Tomb Kings and then one about vampire counts. It's natural we should do one after the other. But obviously, that's what they're comparing themselves to, is each other. How the variations in these two lists, because obviously they've always, in Oldhammer fluff, that's the split of undead, like never Necrocart or the new vampire counts that were created. Anyway, it was a really good game. Really enjoyable. We played it in 96 minutes. So just over an hour and a half. The Barry's was going into his fifth turn, I think
it was four, because you went first.
I think four or five turns. Yeah. But I basically, at the start of Barry's last turn, I just conceded because I was already 12 units lost, and he could, on initiative charges, he would easily kill three. I didn't need to play through that to know that that's the result. So that 96 minutes is me after stopping it. But in the tournament, I'd shake the opponent's hand by that point, because again, it's like, I've lost. Yeah, like, I don't need to play through this to see this. You can just choose the two units you want to delete, because it's all you. So that was really good. So again, that time goes to our like continuing issue of what time do you need to play a Warmaster game, and we just played another one, 2,000 points in 96 minutes.
And that wasn't rushing,
No, we don't. I mean, I'm using an army I've never used before.
I do probably get through the dice rolling and stuff quite quickly now.
I think we do. I mean,
And stuff like pursuits and things. I think there was one pursuit where it was on your clock, and I made you switch it over to mine because I knew I was going to fiddle about.
Because
I was trying to arrange initiative.
The thing is when the combats are made, because we're playing the game fight to front. There's little direction of actual attacks you have to choose. You choose where characters direct attacks if they have an option.
Yeah.
But the stands are all default. Yeah, and only if the stand is like bridge. Like sometimes when cavalry charges you, infantry. Flush, one of the cavalry stands might have that choice because they are directly opposite to, could be opposite to.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's minor stuff. I mean, the game, as I say, like you can play on a clock quite easily. Just in the early turns, make your moves, and when the combat's made, you've no choice about the dice. Pick up the dice and roll them.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So we're on to High Elves today.
Yes.
So who
are the High Elves?
What's the fluff, Paul? I'm not a fluff guy.
I'm the fluff. I think I have become the fluff guy.
You are the fluff guy.
Okay, so High Elves are one of the original races in the old Hammer world. This isn't Age of Sigmar nonsense. Yeah, so High Elves were one of the original races created by the Old Ones, and they're the, so that makes them the second longest running race aside from Slann. They're naturally, they were made to be beautiful and magical and everything perfect, and like they look like what Legolas Bloom looks like in you know, like Lord of the Rings and stuff. And yeah,
Legolas Bloom. Is he changed his name?
Oh, shit. Orlando Bloom, yeah.
Legolas Bloom.
Whoops. Like, okay. So, and yeah, and they're an original race. Basically, they started out, they were the original race that fought Chaos back in the time of Anarion, who was the founder of their, like, society in terms of, like, actual, like, organisation. And this is, like, and this is meant to be something like 6,000 years ago, from when the time frame stopped, you know, in Old Hammer. Obviously, the world got blown up, spoiler. You know, like, and...
not much of a spoiler, is there anybody in the world
that, who doesn't know that, the, well, doesn't know that?
Well, that listens to this.
I don't know. Like, there might be.
Warhammer's dead.
Yeah, yeah. The High Elves were created, you know, they resisted Chaos, and they were going, things were going along quite swimmingly for them for the first couple of thousand years. They live in this, like, one horseshoe-like land called Ulthuan, which is in the middle of the sea.
I guess it's supposed to be like Greenland, if you were looking at an atlas. Somewhere like that.
It's not, I don't think it's based them on anything like direct transition to the real world. Right. Like, clearly the old world is meant to be Europe.
And yeah, we're Albion.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, yeah. But I don't think Ulthuan is anything. I think because it doesn't, you know, in general. But they obviously, in a fantasy world, like elves are a prominent fantasy style race, and yeah, and they, so as their history go by, and they're run by Phoenix Kings, who, and elves are essentially immortal. I think they actually are immortal.
Nothing they're immortal in this.
Yeah, like that. So they certainly don't die of old age. And they're run by their Phoenix Kings, and they then had a division in the society. That's where the Dark Elves were created. And but what the High Elves have been fighting is basically like a long, long retreat, a long decline, because their birth rate, strangely, is declining. Now you would think for a race that can live forever, surely their birth rate would be quite high.
Well, maybe they have to gestate for like 30 years and they don't want to do it.
I don't know. I mean, it's a bit of a strange one, because it's something obviously GW have never written about, is why are there so few High Elves? There really shouldn't be. You know, like they should be breeding like rabbits on Ulthuan, and like there should be billions of High Elves, yeah, because they never die, you know, like old age, aside from mortal, apart from wounds in combat. They don't get ill.
Yeah,
you know?
Wood Elves. Yeah. I mean, they're even fewer Wood Elves, and they've got nothing to do. So, living trees.
Right, we're jumping ahead. So the High Elves basically had a division in their society. Some went bad. You know, like, because originally the whole synopsis of the plot is that Anarion was the original elf king. He had an illegitimate son and a latter family. Sorry. And Morathai, who's original wife, who's the original bad person, bad elf. And she created, like, became the head of the Dark Elves, a cult, and her son, what's his name? Head of Dark Elves.
I don't know, Nagrash?
I know, Scorn. Like,
it begins with him, you're right. More
the Witch King.
Yeah, him, yeah. The Witch King.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Anyway, so the Dark Elves support him, and he's actually the true leader of the Dark Elves by any right. And then the High Elves split off with the Dark Elves. Basically, they have to pass an initiation going through the fires of Anarion, and for some reason, Mr. Witch King failed this. But actually, in the End Times book, you're given why he failed it, and it's not entirely his fault. And it's like, that was one of the good things about the End Times books, is they made you, like, side with some of the Dark Elves, actually. And then, but what I didn't...
Have we got Malekith.
Malekith, that's it. But then what the problem was with the End Times books is that they just put aside this 6,000-year conflict they've been fighting for, like, that's all you've ever done is fought each other. And they just drop it, and they're like, now we'll all get along, and, like, yeah.
And who's the king? Malekith now?
Malekith is the king. Well, they, yeah, remember that he became the king.
Of the whole elves.
And the wood elves are what was left. When the high elves were everywhere, they decided, no, that's enough of it. We're not getting an imperial Rome. They're in decline. Yeah. Let's all go back to Rome or Uthwan. And they're like, and the wood elves were like, no, we like these big woods. And the high elves were like, well, screw you. You know, like, you know, we're going back
screw
to...
You
screw you, hippies. We're going back to our better place, our horseshoe land.
And Little
you,
Britain.
And you wood elves can, like, stay here and, like, that's it. If you stay here, we're done. Like, it's, like, life's done. And the wood elves were like, yeah, we don't care because we got this old tree that talks to us or something. Yeah, and we like it here. So they became then three races. And we're talking about, like, the originals, the High Elves. And that's, in a nutshell, so in at the time frame that War Master is set, High Elves are still in Uthwan. They're undefeated. Like, they've been invaded plenty of times, but they've never been fully conquered. And, you know, they occasionally send out forces, like, a bit, you know, to like, do good in the world and, like, divert disasters. But essentially, they're arrogant, superioristic to other people.
Yeah, isolationists.
Isolationists.
Yeah.
You know, like, and while wood elves are even more, and dark elves are just mean.
Dark elves are just mean. Right, fantastic. Right, so we'll talk through the list. We're going to do it slightly differently going forward. So we'll talk through each line in its totality, if that's a word. So the first one.
Oh, we should say we're talking through the High Elf Army Selector. There's two High Elf lists. There's a High Elf Tournament list. Now we are now that at the moment in our meta. Both are entirely legal. So we're going to talk about the High Elf Army list. You know, we can go on to latter. We can talk about why the tournament list is different if we want to.
Yeah, I'll probably do that in a separate podcast about tournament lists because I think they deserve their own podcast.
But they are... Just so we set the record straight, both in our meta are entirely legal and we are going with the original High Elf list.
Yeah, the original. Okay, so the first entry is Spearmen. They are bog standard infantry. They have three attacks, three hits, five of armour. The three units per size. The unit size is three. Sorry, and they're 60 points, and they have a minimum of two, no maximum.
Yep.
They're pretty good as infantry goes, I find.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a well costed, you know, like, you know, stats, and you've got to have two, like, you know, nothing to be said about that. They're standard infantry.
No, I certainly don't stick with four normally, which is the minimum 2,000. Yeah. I tend to go six.
Yeah. Next choice is then archers. Also,
I've got one more thing to say about. It's like some people complain about the lack of variety, and I'm kind of in agreement a little bit about that. We'll talk about it maybe again later, but. It seems a bit weird that that's all you have is infantry.
Yes.
You have archers, which we'll talk about. But there's a massive range of
infantry.
We'll bolt
that onto other comments at the end.
Okay. Yeah, but just something that when you first start playing the game, you kind of look at it and go, wow, is that it? Mm. But yeah, that really is. That's it. Okay, so.
So, archers, infantry, the only other infantry they have. Three attacks, one shot each, three hits, a six up armour save, a unit size three, default, and they're 75 points, and they only have a minimum of one. So that's a little different, is a lot of armies have two units that have to be minimum two. This is, I also have a minimum one. So they have your archers. You know, they also have a rule where they, general army rule here is that archers, reavers, and bolt throwers get plus one to hit, which is a big deal. So archers shoot you on threes. Yeah, you're gonna have to take two units in a 2,000 point army. You probably wouldn't take more. I wouldn't have thought. They suffer from the problem that most infantry shooting units is they have a wide frontage for the damage they put out.
Yeah.
So you really can't have too many shooting units. Otherwise, you get problems of how do they actually fire?
Okay. Which is the exact opposite of reavers and bolt throwers, which you can get concentration of fire because small freight.
At 75 points, they're quite expensive. Because they've got. The elf rules, and they've got a six up armor, and they only have a six up armor save, so they're quite brittle, really.
They have to be on the front, otherwise there's not.
Yeah, so they've got a double edged sword. You have to send. Obviously, you want your archers to shoot. You have to have two units, so they find their way into the front of the battle line, don't they? And it's bad news bears, really, to be a high elf archer because in the fluff they're the kids anyway doing that. Well, yeah, yet they always die.
But it tends to be the case. If anything, the one unit I lost today was archers. That's just the way it goes. Whoop. For archers. Poor old archers. So a little bit about the plus one to hit, because it doesn't seem like a lot, plus one to hit. But if you think about if it's a four up to hit, and then you move to a three up to hit, that means you hit 33% of the time more. And if it's a five up...
Maths.
If it's a five up to hit, because you're defended, and you're rolling a four up now, that's 50% more. And if, God forbid, you're fortified, six moving to five is 100% more.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and we'll come on to wizards like a moment, like later. But there is a spell that helps them as well.
And one final point is that they get that plus one to hit even when you charge them.
Yep, it's there. I mean, elves are better than you, basically. When you think of yourself, and you should think of an elf, and just know that the elf's better than you.
But smaller, but thinner.
No, they're not. They're taller than people. What? They're not sure.
Oh well, okay.
They're just good-looking things, all right.
I don't like it.
You're northern. You wouldn't like it.
So the next entry, Silver Helms. They're the heavy cavalry.
Yep.
So we have cavalry. They're three attacks, three hits, four up armor save, which is the best you're going to get in this list. Unit size is three. They're 110, which is a fair price, and there is no min max, so you can have an whole army full.
Exactly
them,
the same entry line as Empire Knights.
Yeah. So what makes Silverhelms good with High Elves is their general, the leadership 10. Yep. But we'll come into him later. But otherwise, they're just bog-standard cavalry.
Next thing is Reavers, Barry's favourite unit of cavalry. Three attacks each, one shot, three hits, six up armour save, three in a unit, and you get that for, in this list, you get that for 100 points. And you can have maximum of three in 1,000, so you could have six units in a 2,000-point army.
You could.
They have a plus one to hit because they're elves. And they're pretty damn good, really. So you can mass a lot of them. What Barry does is he runs three units, which on a low frontage can all direct normally onto one target, it being the closest.
Yeah.
Puts out nine shots, hitting on threes, and it's a bit of a rape squad, really.
Well, certainly, especially if you can cast a spell if they need more hits. It will certainly, if you've got low armour, it will take out an infantry brigade.
Yeah.
Oh, not a brigade, an infantry unit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it will put like six or seven in.
And once you get enough, that's driven them back off.
Yeah.
So you won't
do the nine wounds necessarily, but you'll do enough to drive back and kill them.
Yeah. They're not throwaway cavalry by any means at 100 points. They're only 10 less than the Silver Helms, and they've got 2 points less of armour, so they can't tank very well. They need suffer to be used. Basically, they want to find the best place to stand 30 centimetres away from the enemy.
Yeah, so with the bit being able to shoot 30 and move 30, you only need one order to be able to hit something 60 centimetres away at the start of your turn, which is what I look for.
Yep.
Okay, so the next one are the chariots. So they're a chariot. We have three attacks, three hits, five up save, three unit size, and then 95 points. And like the Reavers, they've got a maximum of three per thousand.
Being a chariot means they get plus one extra attack on the charge in the open, which is where you should use chariots.
Yeah, I can't say I like them, actually. There are better chariots in
so
the game.
So, do you... Like, Barry doesn't use them. So, do you not use them, Barry, because you haven't got a model for them?
Or no, because I could just use tokens. I don't use them because when I go for the big hit at the end, I want the most armour I can have.
I suppose,
because I'm only trading away one extra hit for one extra armour, and I think that one extra armour is worth more than that one extra hit.
Okay. Yeah.
Attack rather than hit. That's the wrong word.
In games at tournaments I've seen, chaos chariots, for example, are really popular in a chaos army list. And chariots are like, and there they have the option for taking like other cavalry choices as well, other hard hitters.
Yeah, but how much are those 4-up cavalry?
Without making a lot of.
Yeah, but are they just chaos knights?
Chaos knights. Yeah.
They're crazy expensive.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Then I suppose. So
if I went with chariots instead, so say I have four units of chariots, mm-hmm. I'd do slightly more damage, mm-hmm. but because they need to do a lot of work, the kind of attrition would wear the units out.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
That's how I look at it.
Next thing, you have the High Elf list has two units of monsters, and the first one is Giant Eagles, who are a monster, flying one. They have two attacks each, three hits, six up armour save, three units in the unit size, and they are worth 70 points. Min-max is maximum one, so you can have two units in a 2,000-point game. So these are pretty good workhorses, really. They're good for chasing, getting down enemy artillery, or threatening the artillery to like not act as freely as it wants to be. High elves have good command, so they are always a threat. They can be ordered quite easily, and they're also good at attacking weak targets as well, because they are not penalised like harpies. They'd be long edge, they're short edge. So two units can like go against one target normally and get a lot of attacks in on that.
Yeah, you can
charge.
Put nine in against an infantry unit.
That's right.
For sure.
Yep.
They're an interesting unit in that most of the stuff in the elf list is kind of on the expensive side, and these aren't. These are what you'd expect to pay on any list. So the kind of fact you get access to Leadership 10 is really good with these guys.
Yeah.
And the small base
side. You would take one unit, you'd probably take two.
I always take two because you can hold them back to your general, and then on Leadership 10, you can send them off to kind of hide behind units you're charging.
They can destroy stuff without engaging them. Basically, if you send, they're moving 100. And you get an order off from them. That means you're moving anywhere you want, basically.
Yeah.
And you can then set them up behind a combat that you're about to fight, like a centimetre away. As long as you win that combat, you push
by
the
enemy.
Well, you're going to win by one.
Yeah, like, you need to win by
then
one.
You push the enemy into your eagles who can't. They can't. That means they just get destroyed, regardless of an enemy unit getting pushed into your own friendly, unengaged stuff is killed. And that is it's a tactic cavalry can use, or anybody can use, really. Just high elves just do it very well.
Yeah, these eagles do it very, very well. So I, in that game we just played, I didn't toss them out early. I kept them towards the end of the game
Used them. Their value can get longer in the game the longer they stay alive, in a way. And in terms of, it's tempting, new players would be tempted to send them off straight away.
Oh, they can just still do work.
And then it needs an experienced player to choose that initial move to do that they'll come away. They'll get away with doing and come away back from. They can be used as a bullet, but they're probably better off being held back and waiting for a better opportunity and doing more work.
But say you had two units, you could certainly send one off turn one to go behind the enemy lines and mess with the leadership, especially if you're on Leadership 8.
Yeah, they'll do that as well as anything.
Next one, is this me? Dragon Rider, monster. So 6 3, so it's got 3 shooting attacks. 6 hits, 4 up armour, unit size is 1, 300 points. Min max is 1, and it is a dragon. So, but this is a weird one.
Yeah,
this
is the biggest thing in the list to talk about, really, in terms of would you take it? Would you not take it? Barry wouldn't take it.
No, yeah, 300 points.
Okay, so in the army list here it used to be 350. You definitely wouldn't take it then, and it's been reduced to 300 points. And it's a dragon, so I mean it's got 6 hits only, as a monster. So when it takes 3 to 5, it's wounded. So that meant it really brings its effectiveness down. I don't know. I mean, it causes terror. It's just so many points for what it is. So many points.
You could effectively bring your break down by 2 by using it.
If you take a dragon, there's no attrition game in you. If you take a character on a dragon, and move that around and use the terror and the combat buff. But if you take a dragon rider, as in a unit of dragons, one stand only, you've got no attrition game. If you took 2. You've got nothing.
It's not a Stegodon. All right, it moves 100, which is good. But it's only got 6 hits.
Yeah.
And it can get wounded as well, can't it? Yeah.
But
you only have to do 3 hits and then it's wounded.
Yeah, and then it's combat ineffective. I mean, if the enemy's got cannons, this thing
its cannon's horrific, isn't
it? Yeah, it's such a waste of points. It can be, and if you expose it at all, it can be killed. I think it's a great thing to have in the army as a centrepiece, but you're probably and GW did a lovely dragon elf and a dragon model, which is proper epic. The monsters in Warmaster are proper epic.
The dragons
sizes.
Are huge.
It's a huge dragon, but you're probably better off mounting a hero on it, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting that they actually considered this a unit they needed to put in the high elves, because I don't think it needs it. If you deleted it from the list, I would never.
It'd lose nothing.
No.
Lose nothing.
So,
I mean, you could have deleted that and had a unit of Swordmasters or Phoenix Guard. Couldn't you?
Yeah, or some white lions. There's millions of them.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so what's next? Is it me?
The only piece of artillery elves have is an elven bolt thrower. 1 attack in combat, doesn't matter. 3 shots, 2 hits each, no armour save. Get 2 of them for the cost of 65 points. Min-max, nothing, and 1. So you have 2 units in a 2,000-point army. It's got range 40, being a bolt thrower, and it does 3 shots each, which hit on 3s. So 2 units. So 2 stands of them, that means 6 shots you're kicking out. Put them together, 2 units, that's 12 shots in a frontage of 4 stands. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's short range, though. It's deceptively short range for an artillery piece.
Yeah. Especially as cavalry move 30, so potentially it's only... two orders for a cavalry to get in.
We're about to come on to characters, but the High Command allows them to get a few orders off on the artillery to pull it into range, but that range 40 is... You have to be careful with it. You know, it's going to have to fire at the closest, and it basically wants to sit up. You want to find some nice hill to sit on and hopefully destroy whatever it, you know, it fires at each turn. You would probably take two units in a stand.
Yeah. And if you get charged in the side, which I managed to do today, they're not particularly good at all because they don't shoot.
But you use Paul's tactic of character tanking.
That was interesting. So in order to protect my bolt throwers, I put my dragon character in the bolt throwers.
Yes.
And it got charged and he managed to tank the combat on his
own. Yeah, because the bolt throwers were defended. So I put in Felbats, which are awful, you know, like into the flank. Well, I still should win because it's artillery. But it was defended, so it was hitting. I was getting no charge bonuses. I was hitting on fives. Played that wrong. Should have been
no
fours.
Charge bonus, but you should have been hitting on fours.
Anyway, I didn't do that well. I basically
the character
swung the combat back, and it meant that I didn't kill him. I didn't kill the. I killed a bolt thrower and not the unit. I didn't overrun into the. I didn't advance into the next unit, which is what I was looking to do.
And kill the character.
Bad news bears.
It would have been a big swing.
You're going to have these bolt throwers in the list. They're an iconic elf unit, high elf unit. When you use them, like, and you look at some of these cannons, which have range 60 at times, you're like, get a bit
and no
upset.
Armor save.
Yeah, and you get a bit upset. Their elf style of shooting is lots of attacks rather than no armor.
So very good against lightly armored stuff, not so good against stuff like dwarves. No, not at all.
Okay, so I think we'll do the characters in one hit, I think. So you want to explain the characters?
Yeah, the real king, the general, is he's leadership 10, which is what it's all about. But he's 180 points.
180!
the nearest to him, there are two other generals, excluding wood elves for the moment, with leadership 10, and they both cost 155. That's dark elf and dwarf.
But dark elves are quite a bad negative on their general.
They have a big negative.
And dwarves are just better.
Dwarves have little legs and no cavalry. Yep. So I don't have a problem with it costing 180, although 180 is a lot of points for a general.
Well, you're going to have to take it.
Well, you've got to take it, yeah. That's what I was saying. If you try and play like high elves at 1,000 points, you could easily eat almost half your army on characters.
Yeah. Would you take a magic item with a high elf general?
No.
He's
180 points.
Don't think he needs ones, does he?
No. What are you going to give him?
Yeah.
And then we have heroes. So do you want to talk about heroes?
Okay, so heroes gives plus one attack, gives command 8, and they're 80 points. Wizards give no attacks, and they're command 8, and give 90 points. So heroes is a standard hero entry. That command 8 character is 80 points across many armies, no difference.
He's a normal character.
The wizards are, you know, command 8 is good for a wizard.
It's better than seven. Yeah.
And the high elf magic is we'll talk about that right now. High elves get a general rule is that their wizards are good and they can reroll spells unless they rolled a one. So they get two attempts really to cast. One and a half attempts, let's say, to cast the spell. Their spell selection is Storm of Stone, range 30, 6 up to cast. Every enemy unit within range takes D3 attacks. Then Light of Battle, 5 up to cast, range 30. Every unit and character gets plus one attack for combat.
That's not stand, that's a unit.
It's a unit.
It's not as good as it stands.
So you got Heaven's Fire, 4 up to cast, range 30. A unit gets to fire again at an additional minus one penalty. So it fires originally at 3s, then it fires again at 4s.
So that's normally used on Reavers.
Yep, and Hail of Destruction, 5 up to cast, range 30. Is your standard 3 shooting attacks that cause no armor save. So you have 1, 2 attack spells, 2 augment spells. Very good selection of spells, really, when you consider that you get to reroll to try and cast them. Heaven's Fire, for example, which is a 4 up to cast, you should cast it. But you should get it off. Well, and it's a nice spell to have.
I think it comes out about 67% or something.
Yeah. So they got a good range of spells there. Like if you get multiple combats around, Light of Battle buffs them all.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Hail of Destruct. Yeah, most wizards have an attacking spell. Heaven's Fire works well with the archers. You're defaultly going to have to have anyway.
Yeah, all the
reavers and bolt throwers.
And the storms. I never bother with these six.
I don't think you have a castle.
No, I don't bother with them. It's not worth the effort.
No, it like. very situational. You'd have to... No, it's probably not going to happen, is it really? Yeah.
I mean, they've got a better chance with most than most cast it with your rolling two dice, but even so.
So that's the character selection.
And then we got mounts. We can have an eagle plus two...
For 20 attacks. Points?
Yeah, 20 points gives
bargain.
You
even
100.
Well, cheapest chips.
It is, but who are you going to put on it? And then we get dragon plus three attacks, 100 points. Course of terror, dragon fire, and a chariot plus one attack for 10 points. So my normal build is hero.
Basically a magic item, isn't it? A chariot.
Yeah, so sword of might. Yeah. A sword of might with a sword of might. So I give my hero a dragon and a sword of might, and it gives him five attacks and terror.
Yeah,
flying, and that's how we're running.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, they got a good selection of characters. I think higher. So we're coming. We've talked through the lists, and now we'll go for strengths and weaknesses. So we've talked about the leadership 10 cost. So overall strength of the army, Barry?
Shooting.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, there may be another army in the game that shoots better, but higher shooting is very, very good.
Yeah,
It kind of breaks the game a little bit in that. Shooting isn't meant to be good.
Well, it's meant to...
It's meant to augment what you do and kind of cause confusion.
But I mean, elves being... high elves being a speciality of theirs is shooting. It's not like it's unbreakable or it's like unplayable or anything. It's just like, they just... Like, if you did your shooting, what a standard Empire army might do is they'll push things around and not generally destroy stuff. But elves actually can max the firepower to destroy stuff.
Yeah, so like a game at the tournament recently, somebody pushed a Stegodon forward and he just got blown away from the drive back.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing, I'm sure when they wrote the game, they didn't expect that kind of thing to happen.
There is design notes I've read in one of the army lists with Rick Priestley saying how it is, even he gets tempted to blast things repeatedly with wizards, and then he realises he put a rule in that you can't hit the wizard unit with the same spell, like, etc., etc., to stop that. But
yeah.
It's like even the designer was like, gets carried away, like, oh, I'm going to do this, and forget his own rules. You know, like the game's not meant to be won by shooting. When we come on to look at the Wood Elf list, that'll be interesting because they're going to be even better at shooting.
Yeah, I have my concerns about that list.
No, we'll
having
see.
Played higher,
we'll
but
see.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
so we got the shooting. Obviously, the shooting is what they're good at. They got lots of mobile units.
Yeah,
like lots of them.
Yeah.
Lots and lots.
Weaknesses is there's a high points cost across the army. There's no cheap unit. Your cheapest is 60 points in your spearman. There's no 30 point complete chaff. Getting a high break point is difficult. When you do get it, you've probably not taken all the best options you can. You know, like, but I think Barry's list is very good. I mean, even he's managed to get breakpoint 10 and still have four units of Silverhelms in there. And
it's certainly not the list you'd play, because today I think you had seven characters.
Yeah, I know, I like characters.
Yeah, but each of those characters are 80 points each.
Yeah, whatever.
Seven characters. So I go completely the other way, minimum characters, and that will cause turns where you literally do nothing.
Yeah.
Because it comes to your general too soon, and then your general
or
fails.
Or your characters are just not where they wanted to be. Because one's a fighty character, and one's
a
wizard.
One's a wizard. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The general has to do a lot, and when he has a bad morning,
when he rolls an 11,
things happen.
Yeah. They're a good starting army, I think. High elves. Say you're new to the game, and we should do a podcast about new powers.
We're going to do one.
Yeah, we're going to do one. But
some of the newer players.
Yeah, some of the newer players. The list, especially for them, is like what to do with Warmaster. Is that they're a very good arm? They're a very good forgiving army to play, aren't they? I think for as a beginning.
Yeah, they'll certainly teach you about shooting because a lot of armies don't have any access to shooting, so you don't really understand how shooting works.
They're an elite army, so you probably won't have the biggest army compared to other people. You know, like,
I'd just say, if you're going to do it, try and keep your characters to a minimum, because it's quite easy with your spearmen, the minimum you have to take, and the archers, so you've got four and two of those, and then you've got your characters. It's quite easy to eat half your points without having made any choices.
Yeah.
So keep your characters as tight as you can. Maybe you can have a second wizard if you want. They're certainly good.
Mm-hmm.
And try and keep your break as high as possible.
Yep.
Don't go for like a break of eight or anything, because they're not strong enough to do that.
I'm guessing if we were grading armies, maybe something we'll do, is that high elves would be up there as a better army.
Yeah, I'd say if you were saying, like, they're definitely a tier one army.
Yeah, tier one.
Yeah.
Let's say that. I mean, like, if we took Empire as the tier two, I'd say high elves are tier one.
I'd consider orcs tier three, unless you were doing something insanely good.
What about tier five?
Okay. But, yeah, so say orcs tier three or orcs for
unless you can guarantee your giants go mental and do what you want.
Every game. Yeah. So orcs tier 3, empire tier 2, and high elves for the moment tier 1, because they're the three we've done.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
So there we go. And we'll try and fit them into that scale somewhere as we go through them.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, so other comments. Lack of variety in infantry units. Problem with the game in general. No, right, okay, so high elves, all right, going back to the fluff, there are things called sword masters, there are things called phoenix guard. And they're meant to be...
Sea guard. White lions.
Yes. So there are these cool...
Shadow warriors. Shadow warriors.
So there are these other elf units around in the fluff, but they don't feature in the Warmaster list, either of the lists, actually, the tournament list or that general list. Now, obviously, the idea is that scale will pan out. There ain't enough shadow warriors to make a unit. But there is actually enough units, definitely, of Phoenix Guard. It's not like there's a few of them. There's thousands of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the end times, there's an army of Phoenix Guard.
I'm not sure they would be much different.
No, but GW made models for Swordmasters. They made models for Phoenix Guard. So, and they said that here's these units out. Use them as alternative spearmen, and which you could do for a variety's sake. But equally, it wouldn't be wrong, I think, to have them an entry in there. Like you could do a unit swordsman with an extra attack. So they've got 4 attacks for Swordmasters. Give them a right points cost.
Yeah. Or they'll take an armour point for them.
Yeah,
because they don't have shields.
No, or whatever. But like, what I'm saying is you could put them in the list and it wouldn't break the army because they're doing something now they can't. Because all they are at the end of the day is variations on infantry, lightly armoured infantry. There's no heavy infantry.
Yeah. See, that's why I wouldn't give them a 5-up save and 4 attacks. I'd make them have a 6-up save.
Yeah.
And then they're just orcs.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to complain about orcs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the weaknesses of the High Elf army is they don't have like a heavy unit of infantry to dig somebody out of combat, and neither Phoenix Guard nor Swordmasters are going to be that unit because they might have more attacks, but they'd have less armor or whatever.
Phoenix Guard wouldn't, would they? Because they're the same.
Probably Phoenix Guard would probably be exactly the same as spearmen.
That's what I said. Yeah, they'd just be the same. But something like White Lions or Swordmasters may have an extra attack.
Yeah.
I think in the game, when you come to the game, it does feel a bit weird how vanilla the infantry is.
Yeah, but that is something about Warmaster. This is one of the original armies created, one of the six. And not every army has more than 10 entries. So they put that, again, design notes of Warmaster is they didn't want to have as many choices as you do in Warhammer because it's the scales spanned out. Ultimately, you could say a unit of spearmen is going to have some Swordmasters around and some Phoenix Guard. They're just not in enough numbers to be different. We'll see. I mean, I'd say... In the way the meta we're creating, if somebody wanted to, put forward alternative rules for these models,
I'd consider it. Lothian Sea Guard, who basically were spearmen
with bows.
Archers.
Yeah.
So, what would you do? Would you make them?
Well, them a unit of spearmen with a shooting attack, and you'd up the points cost.
So it'd be like 90 points.
They'd have to be. Yeah.
And then, would you really want to take them for 90 points?
I don't know, but they are there as an option to some people. They definitely want them because they like the unit. Because they like the character.
Yeah, the fluff. Yeah, the fluff. For sure. Mm-hmm. That's where the bolt throws came from, isn't it? From the boats.
They're off ships, yeah.
The seagull. Okay, right. So why would you play High Elves?
They've been around a long time. They're an original old hammer race. The models look lovely.
They do.
Yeah, like
the spear tips are annoying, though. I will warn you.
When they made Dark Elves, they realised the spears were bad, and they made spears a lot thicker.
Yeah.
But the GW models are lovely. You could probably pick some up on. You could probably find some because they were quite a common army.
They were.
And you could play them equally with alternative models as well, quite easily. There's a lot of because generic. Elf look is quite common, across the board. So yeah, you could play them with a different company's models for high elves quite easily.
But the spear tips, to drag back to that, I did lose 4 the tournament I played, and they just fall off non-stop. If you nudge them, it's not even, don't pick them up by the spear tip. You don't go to pick them up. You just catch them with a finger and they just break off.
So you're
going to have to learn to just live with that. In the end, they'll have short spears, all of them.
If you're using original, GW stuff. They're a good forgiving army. That's why I play high off. So I think fluff-wise, you'd want to be attracted to them. They're good in the game. They're tier 1. They're good for beginners. It's not like playing the game on easy mode, but it is. They are good. Yeah,
it's certainly easier.
Easier.
First army was lizardmen, and these are so much more forgiving than lizardmen.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, you know, lizardmen have their problems, and they we'll do. Come on to them. Generally, we're really quite positive about High Elves.
Yeah, if you're gonna, they're not too broken, but they'll certainly give you a good gaming experience.
You could compete definitely with High Elves. You could win tournaments with High Elves. You could win anything with anybody, but they don't have that obvious disadvantage going into some matchups.
The only matchup is against heavy armor.
Yeah. Yeah, like they're probably really difficult. Is a game of them is dwarves, but high elves dwarves classic matchup going to be difficult anyway for both sides, really.
Yeah, right. So future events, we've got two coming up that we need to talk about. We've got the Triwizard Doubles on April the 30th
in Saffron Walden, where Team Warmaster Podcast, which is me and my co-host with the most, Barry, will go into that. We don't know what we're going to do.
I'm still thinking.
We're still thinking.
It's going to be good.
We've got a bit of time.
And it'll be painted, hopefully.
Yeah, we will be painted.
Will be painted.
I'll have to paint yours. It's a 1,500-point event each, so we haven't got to do a full army each yet.
Okay, and we also got Bunker Warmaster 2 on July the 2nd.
Yes, my event is next, already booked. You can buy the tickets from the 4TK, that's the number 4 letters TK website. Go on there, go onto the events page, put Warmaster, you'll find it. £10 gets you to play and gets you lunch. We've been really popular. It's been,
think you're going to have to cap it, do you?
No, I don't want to. But the venue couldn't take more than 32. Players.
That's 6-4. Okay, and that's right. Using up and down.
Wouldn't that be amazing? But I mean, I'd have said, well, we won't get 16. But now all these new players coming along, and it'd be great if our club members just turned out en masse to play, because everyone knows that venue. That would be fantastic. Because why not? Why come play Warmaster? It's got the resurgence is strong.
Okay. Yeah, well, good. So, and finally, if you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can contact us on our Facebook page, Warmaster Podcast, or we've got a web address, an email address, warmaster.podcast@gmail.com.
That's Google.
Google Mail.
Yeah.
I don't know, is that the same thing, Gmail and Google Mail? I've got a Gmail account.
Oh, okay. Don't know. Yeah, and what are we going to do next episode?
Next episode, I don't know, maybe we'll do a new player.
Or it'll either be another one of these for another race, or it'll be a new player one.
New player one, and we'll try, we've got some new players touching the toes in, so maybe we'll get them to come in.
Yeah, it'd be a good time, actually, and with us having our 100 listener subscriber podcast celebration on Saturday, probably is a good time to release an episode. Yeah,
but it'll probably have to be done in the evening, and we may not get a game in that night, so we'll see. Okay, alright, so this was Warmaster Podcast episode 6, talking about High Elves with Barry and Paul.
Going strong, see you later.
Okay, good night.